Good morning again. It was great being with some of you this morning at the Sunday School Hour and just getting into scriptures, and was just, I love that aspect of it. But so I'm Jared, but many of you know my beautiful wife, Melanie, and it's good to be back here. Last time was 4 years ago, mm-hmm. I believe. And some of you that are new here within the last 4 years, hopefully we can kind of tell you a little bit about us and whatever. All right, so that's kind of like the goals this morning, is kind of update you, those that know who we are. And like, you guys are been supporting us for 7 or 8 years now. So update to you that know, and then those that don't know anything about us, then hopefully we can kind of fill those gaps a little bit with you. But it's great to be with you guys. I guess we can get started. We're going to talk about, so we are with New Tribes Mission, formerly known as that, but now it's now known as Ethnos 360. And that's kind of our organization that we're with. But our ministry is all about reaching the unreached people groups, people that have no chance or no access to hear the name of Jesus. And that is our ministry, our passion. You know, when we started dating, we reassured each other, like, are you like for sure going to be doing this? Because it's pretty difficult. And then I asked her that, and then she said yes, and she pointed it right back at me. Like, are you sure that you're going to be doing this? So that's kind of one of the things that we had to make sure of each other before we got married, and that's one of our passions. And we just want to share a little bit about our ministry, and hopefully you guys are cool with that. But all right, so we are in Indonesia. Some of you guys, this church is, I don't know if there's another church that knows more about unreached people groups ministry, New Tribes Mission, and you guys know a lot of your missionaries are in that area, so I don't really need to explain too much about it, but I want to talk a little bit about that for those that don't know. So we are in Papua. Many of you guys know Papua New Guinea, and it's actually connected to Papua New Guinea. It's on the east side of the Indonesia. Some of you might have think, I've heard of that country, Indonesia, before on the news. Usually it's like tsunami related or earthquake related, but that usually happens in the middle of Sulawesi and Borneo. But so we're in the Papua on the east side there. So Papua New Guinea, many of you know, many of the missionaries are from there. So Papua is on the west side of Papua New Guinea side. So that's where we're located. And the triangle is right in the middle of Papua. And that's where we live in the Dem tribe. And so you can kind of picture it as a bird. You kind of see that. And people refer to the spine of the bird as where we live. And that's because there's mountain ranges right in the middle. And so a little bit about the tribe and the history. Some of you might know the history, but Mel's going to kind of give you the background of it to update those who don't know.
So one of the big questions we get asked quite often is, how did you choose the Dem tribe? And surprisingly, Jared and I feel like the Dem people chose us. So back in 2005, when Jared and I first got married, we felt like the Lord was laying it on our heart to go to unreached people groups, but we didn't know where. And so over the years, God began to open doors. The first door he opened was he led us to Indonesia. The second door he opened was he led us to Papua. And then the last one was, we were like, okay, God, now that we're here, what tribe do you want us to go into? And so during that time of just kind of being in between, learning the trade language, we had a friend. Has anyone heard of the Wild Brothers before? Okay, so they're located in the Wano tribe. Well, Mike Wild, he's the missionary there, he heard that Jared had a background in construction, and so he was like, hey, if you want some experience what it looks like to live in a tribe, and you can help build my house, we can both have like a win-win situation on this. And so Jared went into the Wano tribe, and during that time, the Dem people actually heard, they're like, hey, there's this random missionary guy in the Wano tribe that's building this house. So to back up and give you a little bit of history, the Wano tribe and the Dem tribe, they're very close proximity to each other. The only thing that separates them is a river. Do you want to push the next slide? So this river right here is what separates these two tribes. The Wano's over here, the Dem's over here on opposite sides of the mountain. And this river is a pretty fast current. It's somewhat deep. The people will not cross unless there is a bridge. Well, at times of war, they cut this bridge down, and that way neither tribe can come and attack the other one. And it just so happened that when Jared was in the Wano tribe helping Mike Wild build his house, the Dem and the Wano were in the middle of a war. So this bridge had been cut down. But the Dem people, they met as a group, and they picked four leaders, and they said, you're going to go build this bridge back up. You're going to cross into Wano territory, not knowing whether or not they would be killed, and essentially plead their case for Jared to come back to the Dem tribe with them. And so that's what they did. They picked four leaders. They built that bridge back up. And here's the four guys right here in Wano territory. So they crossed in, and they could have been killed because they were in the middle of a war, but they felt like it was worth it. It was worth that risk to come into the possibility of being killed to convince Jared and our coworkers to come back with them. And so here they are pleading their case, and they said to Jared, we are like children wandering aimlessly in the forest, and we do not know which path to take. But you are our fathers, and you can tell us the right path. And at the same time, because the Wano and the Dem were so, there was intermarriage, the close proximity, they had heard about this God, the spirit, and they heard that there was a spirit that commanded the other spirits, that was above all the other spirits. And they said this was God's talk. And they said, you need to come into our tribe, and you need to tell us about this God's talk. So Jared came home. We were all super excited. It seemed like God had just really put this tribe in our laps, this tribe that we'd been praying for all these years, God had brought right to us. And so we started to do a little bit more investigation. We started to look into the Dem tribe, and we found out that the Dem people had been asking for missionaries for over 50 years. Different mission organizations had gone into the tribe. They had done survey, but essentially would get back on the plane 3 days later and leave. And so the Dem people, being so discouraged, they're like, what can we do to convince these missionaries to stay? They heard missionaries like airstrips. So they built an airstrip. And we're talking 50 years ago in the jungles of Papua, Indonesia. There was no bulldozers. There was no chainsaws. There's only a couple of people that are still alive today that built this airstrip. And they tell us, they're like, oh, we cut it with machetes, and then we made sharp digging sticks. We dug around the roots of a tree, and then the ladies would come sweep it up with their arms, put it in a bag, and then take it off the side and repeat. So it was back-breaking labor. And when Jared and I heard this, it just wrecked our hearts, hearing the lengths that these people were willing to go to try to get the gospel. And so in January of 2014, our family moved into the Dem tribe.
So 2014, we moved in, and basically the last 3 years had been kind of looking a lot like this. So as we said, like, this is a language that's never been written down. This is a group that's never heard about Christ. So going right into it was a challenge, as you don't have any books, you don't have Rosetta Stone, you have nothing to go off of this language. It's a lot of, in the beginning, it was a lot of pointing. Just being with people is kind of our language time. As we have our books with us, we have our recorders that look a lot like this, and we're constantly recording their stories, different phrases, and different things like that. And so, we kind of tell people, like, the last 3 years hasn't been real exciting. Like, not a lot has happened, but a lot has happened. And because of the fact of, you know, we're not building church buildings, or we're not having all these believers yet. We're not at that time right now. So the part that's not a lot has happened is we're just learning our language. And I'm 75% done, and she's about 50% done. So we're not completely officially done with her language study, or our language study part, before we can start. And I'll tell you a little more about that later on, what the next phase looks like. So, yeah, the last 3 years have been mainly just language studying, building relationships, and then another aspect has been medical. And Mel's going to talk a little bit about the medical side of things, of our ministry.
And something interesting about the language is we've had language consultants come in and they've said that our language is a language isolate, which means there is no language in the world that we can even pull from that is similar to the DEM language. And they say the higher you go elevation, the more complex the languages become. And we're about 5,200 feet elevation, and the DEM language is a doozy. The verbs, so every time you say a verb, the verb changes depending on person, location, and time. And so for one verb, we are memorizing 30 to 40 different variations for one verb. And then we even have the verb give. How many variations are to that verb that we found?
I don't know. Too many count.
Too many. So many. So anyway, it's crazy. It's a very, very difficult language. But another thing that we deal with a lot is medical. I was recently in Lamar's, Iowa, and one of the pastors took us out for lunch, and he was just like, listen, I want to know the highs, and I want to know the lows of what life looks like over on the tribe. And the first word that came to my mind to answer both of those questions was medical. So by and large, medical is the most physically and emotionally draining thing that we deal with on a daily basis in the tribe. We have the highs of seeing our friends get better when we give them medicine, and then it builds relationships too that otherwise would be impossible due to the language barrier. It builds a trust and it builds relationships. But then we also have the lows of losing babies, of losing friends that we were taking care of and that they entrusted to us. And so it can be a very emotionally hard thing to deal with in the tribe. Jared and I have no medical background. I'll just start off with saying that. For you guys know me, so you know I don't have any medical background, but Jared also doesn't. And New Tribes did like a week, like a crash course week on how to give a shot or how to look in ears. So it was very, very basic. But we are dealing with quite a bit in the tribe. In this picture over here, we worked with the government. We had a measles outbreak in our tribe, and we worked with the government. We were able to get vaccines flown in. We vaccinated over 200 babies, kids, and teenagers. And I know it's a very controversial thing here, but over there, when you're in a third world country, that can wipe them out. So it's a very serious thing. So we dealt with that. And then we also deal a lot with labor and deliveries. We deal like WikiHow. We've had to look on WikiHow on how to set a bone before. Someone came with their arm like this and we're like, oh my goodness, what do we do? So we got on WikiHow and we found out how to set a bone. So we're totally in over our heads, but God has really used this medical program to open doors into relationships. When we first went into the tribe, we noticed that a lot of the ladies were missing fingers, but we didn't know what was going on. And as we began to develop the language, we found out that if the ladies were missing fingers, that means they lost a child. They lost a baby. And I'm not exaggerating when I say I would see older ladies that were missing an entire hand of fingers. We found out that when they lose a baby, they cut off their finger to the nub right here, and they throw it in the fire as an appeasement to that spirit so that the spirit won't hurt the rest of her kids or herself. And as moms, we can't even begin to imagine the loss of one of our children, let alone multiple, and sadly, that is the normal for a DEM lady in the DEM tribe. So we came into the tribe, we realized that pneumonia was one of the main things wiping these babies out. And so we brought in an easy amoxicillin. We were able to cut that death rate significantly just by bringing in that one medicine, which was huge. We've also started to see moms starting to attach their kids more. Before we brought in amoxicillin, their babies were just constantly dying, and they wouldn't name their kids until they were two or three. Because in their minds, they're like, what's the point? They're going to die anyway. And so now we're seeing moms attach much sooner to their babies, and they're giving them names like 6 to 9 months, which is huge.
Yeah, so medical, like Mel said, is we have our highs and lows. There's a lot of difficulties, but there's a lot of good times, or good outcome. And this is one of those outcome best case scenario of the situation. It happened, and then it was just all part of God's plan, obviously. And so the background of this story is the lady in the blue here, on the far right, she was pregnant, and she was pregnant with twins. And I don't think we knew at the time, did we? One of her sisters came really early, or really late, really early in the morning, and said that she's giving birth. So come, basically the ladies, Mel, you and your coworkers, come and help her. So she had one delivered fine, and the way that they delivered, different times in a hut and sometimes by a stream. So here we are in the stream. It's cold mountain water. The first one's delivered. The second one is breached. So they're having difficulties and complications for that. So long story short, we had to evacuate her. We had to take her and her husband, which is on the left, Soapy Newt. So Soapy Newt and Sesamina. And so my family and their family, we all went on helicopter. We went to a city called Wamana, and we got her treated. And to help you understand, like, these two people were very nervous. They'd never been to this town. They'd never been to a hospital. They've never, this is way out of their culture. They have culture, they're breaking all the laws of culture. And people were saying that she was going to die. So it was one of those, well, we can help her. We can get her out. And so basically we got to the hospital. A doctor did a C-section, had a baby number two, and it just worked out. It's very stressful, but it was just amazing how God allowed us to be a part of that, because now through that situation, we've gained a lot of faith and trust in them, and also gained a best friend. Like, Soapy Newt is legitimately one of my closest friends there. And he's one of my language helpers, and I didn't even know him before this whole medical situation. So, you know, God just
allowed
this.
Soapy is the password to his computer.
Hey, you're not supposed to say that. But yeah, it's just one of those great scenarios of, it could have, you know, the babies could have died, she could have died, and, you know, God could have allowed that to happen, and we would have not had gained as much trust. So thankfully God just allowed that to happen, and they named the twins Jared Dua, Jared the second, and Daniel after my dad. So they're 2 years old now. They're just cute kids. They're just so funny to watch, and they really have adopted our family to be almost their clan, and we feel like we're part of their family, and we adopt them too.
But. And the funny thing is, Jared Dua, they say he's the naughty one. They're always like, Jared Dua, he is so naughty, but Daniel is good. Jared Dua is bad.
But he's the fun one, fun naughty. Can we do the video? Well, we're going to show you a video of the last 3 years, and hopefully it'll give you an idea of what it looked like, and also at the end it shows a different tribal response of when they heard the gospel for the first time, and that's a different tribe, but that's something that we'll explain a little bit later. So that's, you saw what we've been doing the last 3 years, and then again, that last part was a different tribe that's been, I think, reached for maybe 7 years, and that's just something that, Lord willing, that's what we're going to see in this next phase of when we're over there. So I wanted to show that to you guys to help you see, I guess, what could happen in the next few years. And so that's what we want to go through showing you for the next 3 years. This is what it's going to look like. And we say all this morning for our church. You guys are one of our supporting churches financially, but also prayerfully. These are things that you guys can pray for us, and you know specifically what we're going up against. And then also just anything that good that comes out of this is just from the Lord. Like, this is, it's a difficult ministry. It really is. It's challenging. We have had many of our challenging moments, but one of those things that it just causes us to have faith in God and just faith that he's having us there for a reason. And that's something that you can pray for us in that too. But so these are what it looks like after our language studies. We're going to start literacy. We're going to teach them how to read and write. And so that when we translate God's word in the future, they have a way to read it. And then lesson development, we're going to be starting to break down scriptures and from chronologically, as you guys have heard, I'm sure, a lot from this church of how our organization teaches, that's what we're doing. We're taking it from beginning to end. And we're going to take stories through the Bible. We're not going to take every verse from the Bible, but we're going to take many stories from the Bible that's going to point to Jesus. So when we get to talk about who Jesus is, they understand, like, oh, that perfect lamb that you talked about, the sacrifice in the Old Testament. So that's why Jesus is, you know, so they can puzzle these things together. And then teaching God's word, discipleship, and translating the Bible. So these are the things that are, I don't know if all of these things will happen all at, you know, in the time span that the next time you guys see us in 3 or 4 years. But this is kind of the order, the timeline of what the ministry will look like.
Yeah, we just want to thank you guys. We want to thank this church. Grove is a huge part of my story. I grew up here. My parents met and got married in this church. I was dedicated in this church as an infant. I was baptized in this church as a teenager. And then I got to walk down that aisle and marry my husband in the same church as my parents. And so this church is a huge part of who I am today. When I go and I speak at other places, I talk about this church and how I got into missions. This church is, I say there's a small little church on the corner of Shepherdsville and Price, and they're small, but they are so passionate about missions. We've gone to many different churches, and I've never seen a church that is this passionate about missions. I think about who you guys are sending out. I think of Jason and Tammy, Brad and Burr, Peter Nichols and his wife. Did they leave? Are they going to leave? And that's just a few. And I think about how when we get to heaven one day and you guys will be standing there and you'll see Jesus and you'll see your loved ones, and behind them there could be all these, the Yumby Yumby, the Dem people, Brad and Burrs, that little island in Vanuatu, all those people behind, and you guys are a part of their story and how they came to Christ. We're an extension of the church. And we just want to thank this church for being behind us. You were the first ones to start supporting us. You were our first church. And you've been with us from the beginning, and we are just honored to carry your name to the Dem people.
That's what we have for you guys. And again, this is a way for you to be updated, to know what we've been doing this last 3 or 4 years, and also to help you understand how to pray. But then even challenge, you know, the world. We just heard a stat that 40% of our world is considered unreached, just like these people that you have seen. And the world is huge. The need is huge. Those who, challenge your own lives of whether to go or to not go. And just thanks for your time. Thanks for your finances and prayer. And we are grateful for you guys. But now turn this over to Pastor.
Did you want to do question and answer time at all? Okay. Do any of you guys have any questions?
Or stories about Mel when she was a child?
So you have four families in your team. Does everybody do the same thing, or are you sort of divided up by task? How does that work?
As far as, like, only one of us has completed the language so far. So all the four guys, like, we have been in the same area of learning language this whole time together. But then I'm assuming you're probably asking for the next 3 or 4 years, what does that look like? Yeah, we're going to basically divide and conquer all those things that we're needing to get done. A couple will probably do translation. A couple will do lesson development, teaching. So, yeah, we'll definitely divide up the the roles among us, for sure. And then as far as the ladies, it's going to all look like literacy and medical entangled among all four of them, too.
How do your children enter into the ministry with you? Because I have to believe they enter in somehow.
Yeah, that's a good question. The hard part about our oldest, Israel, is having a hard time with the thought of going back. He's told us a couple times, like, "Mom, I don't fit in over there. Why do I have to leave when my grandparents are here, when my cousins are here? Why do I have to leave?" And so we've been talking with some people, just trying to get some wisdom on how to approach the subject. And they told us to give our oldest, like, let him spearhead a part of our ministry and make it his own. And that way he feels like he is a part of this, not just like on, "Oh, yeah, my mom and dad said that God wants us to be here." He's doing a tangible role. And so something as so little as we're going to take back a projector. And on Sunday nights, we want to do like a movie for the whole Dem tribe. So it could be something like Planet Earth, or just, you know, something without English in it. And the plan is for Israel to make popcorn. So he can be in the kitchen making the popcorn. He can be the one telling the Dem people about the movie at that night. And he can be the one putting out the blanket. So just little tangible ways that he can be a part of it. I think the kids feel a part of our ministry in general when we, you know, take them places, when we have a sick person. "Hey, you want to go on a hike with me? I need to go to this hut." "Okay, yeah." So they go along with us. And I think just including them in our everyday life hopefully makes them feel like they're a part of, even for me just sitting out on the porch and doing medical. I mean, you saw a picture of Rowan out there with me where he sometimes unwraps the Band-Aids and hands them to me. And so just little ways that they're able to do life with us, I hope that they're feeling included in that. No, everybody told us that was going to be the case, and we're not finding that. Because we have such a large team, we have a lot of missionary kids. I mean, you saw the picture. There's a lot of missionary kids. And so we're actually seeing tribal kids learning English because they're hearing it so much from the kids. I mean, and even, like, I'll put Legos out on the porch where Israel and Rowan can go out and play with tribal kids, but they don't talk. Like, kids are able to play without talking. Or tag, they play tag and they point. Like, so anyway, my kids are being lazy and they're finding ways around not having to learn the language. So it's one of those things where Jared and I talked about it. When we go back, I'm going to do school. So, like, that will be a part of homeschool, is they're going to learn the language. So I never thought I would have to teach them. I thought they would just pick it up. But now we're seeing that it's going to have to be more intentional part of learning the language. But it's very important to us that they're catching it too, so that they do feel like they're a part of this with us. Yes.
Are you homeschooling, and are you homeschooling all those that are there that are in school age, or do you have to do it?
Yeah, we've talked about potentially doing something like that in the future, but at the moment, all of us moms feel like we have a different curriculum that we like best. And kids are so different too, where their learning styles are different. So at the moment, we're kind of all doing our own thing where each mom is just in charge of her own kids. We've started to do little classes like gym and art where a mom will take all the kids for something like that. But in general, each mom is responsible for her own kids at the moment.
I know if Pastor Bob was here, he'd make you answer this question. Where are you on your support, and how should we specifically be praying for you?
Say the first one again.
Where are you on your financial support?
He's the one who does finances.
We feel healthy. We feel good about our finances. Like, on paper, we're initially at, like, 91%. That's our figure. But we get these, you know, like, one-time gifts for, hey, this is some money to go for, like, plane tickets or something to go back or something. So that kind of bumps us a little higher at times. But for, like, continual monthly support, yeah, we're at 91%.
Which tells me, how much more support do you need to be at 100%, dollar-wise?
You know, I don't know the dollar figure on that one. And then for prayer, just the things that we shared this morning, along with that, like we've heard, and maybe you have heard with other missionaries, when they get that much closer to the gospel, it just seems like Satan just puts a lot more effort, you know, a little more, it gets a little, he just ramps up the spiritual warfare part of things. So that alone right there, we're getting, you know, within a year and a half to 2 years of the gospel, we're getting that much closer. And we know from other experiences of that's what Satan's going to be doing. And he's going to seek and destroy anything good that we're able to do for God. And he's going to have that, the Dem tribe in his hands. He doesn't want to let that go. And, you know, we just ask for prayer for that part.
Also on top of that, if you could be praying for Jared, I'm pretty sure Becky put it out there that Jared was diagnosed with MRSA. And we have a doctor's appointment December 11th. He's not contagious right now. It's in his blood. And so we have a doctor's appointment December 11th, and we are asking the Lord, begging the Lord to completely take this from him. It would not be safe for us to go back with him having MRSA, just because we wouldn't be able to get the antibiotics over there that we need. And then also we don't want to introduce that to the Dem tribe, where if they got it, it could be devastating results. And so if you could be really praying with us, we leave January 21st. And so we are asking God to take this completely away from Jared before we leave. That way we're not having to postpone our tickets and push things back. So that's a huge prayer request for us right now.
Anybody else?
And I remember years ago over to the gym, Mel teaching me the game of volleyball by putting a volleyball down my throat without words.
No, it wasn't me, was it? The funny thing is, we actually used to do pew races on these pews. Abby and I would do pew races up and down these pews, and she biffed it once, and she got a pew indentation right here on her chin. She'd probably kill me if I just told you guys all that, but yeah. Yes, stranger. Over in Indonesia? What are you talking about? Sorry. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So I think it was like a year ago, we had leadership, New Tribes leadership in. And what they do is they start to make a timeline. And so as a team, we decide, okay, this is when we'll be done with language. This is when we'll start the lesson development. And this is when we're going to start teaching the gospel. And as a team, we found the date, and it would be January 2020 is when we would start presenting the gospel. And that exact same day, a plane came in. And usually we always know when planes are coming in. A plane came in from the government. And he got out and he started having this big talk with the people. And he said, he's like, we want to build a huge airstrip here, and we're going to come in January of 2020 and start building a big airstrip. And so just in that moment, we were like, there's no coincidence there. That is completely, Satan has had reigned in darkness over the Dem people for thousands of years, and he does not want the light of Jesus to come in to them. And so, yeah, there's a potential of the government coming in at that time. And if they did, it would just be a huge distraction for the people. I mean, we do teaching every day, 6 days a week. And if the government is in there, they're going to want to work for the government because the government gives them money. And so that could completely distract them from ever wanting to come to the teaching. So that's a potential down the road. And we're just praying that that gets delayed till after we're done with the teaching. Yeah, that's a potential thing that they could be doing that. Anytime with the government, it's not a good thing for us because that brings in an outside influence. Right now, our people are, I mean, they have been touched by outside the world influence, but they're still pretty remote. There's no roads in and out of our tribe. They have to hike 2 days to get to the nearest town. And so if the government did bring in an airstrip, they would most certainly want to bring in Indonesians to start populating that area too. And so, which would mean Muslim influence and yeah, it just wouldn't be a good thing.
Okay. I want to thank you guys for being here. If you could just stay there for a moment, we're going to have a prayer over you. I'll ask Alan if you would pray. I do want to make an announcement though. I just watching that, and hearing what the people said about being out there and not knowing where they're going, it reminded me of where Jesus said he was moved with compassion because he looked out and they were like sheep without a shepherd. And we need to pray for Jared and Melanie and their team. But you know what my heart is too? I've prayed that God would raise up people from among us who would follow in the path of Melanie and others who have gone and go to unreached tribes until every unreached person is reached for the Lord. And I think it starts with, in your heart, am I willing? And I just would like everybody to consider that this morning and pray with us together that God would continue to raise up people to be sent out from Grove. But again, thank you guys. They'll be in the back if you want to talk to them, but we've also set up at Jade Garden. It's right by the Secretary of State in St. John's. We're going to have Jared and Melanie and their family there. Just give them extra time to talk. If you want to fellowship, everybody's invited. The church is going to cover Jared and Melanie and their family. But since we don't have a line item budget for Chinese buffet, we just ask each one of you to just cover your family if you could. But it'd be a good time of fellowship. Everybody's invited who would like to come out in the back room there in Jade Garden. And but we'll close, and I'll ask Alan if we'd all just stand. We just want to let you guys know our hearts are with you, and we just want to pray over you as you.
Father in heaven, we thank you for the ministry that Jared and Melanie have there with the Dem people. And Father, we're so blessed and privileged to be able to support them and to pray for them and to now understand better the challenges that they face. And oh, Father, I just pray for Jared in particular that this MRSA will be taken out of his bloodstream, that they will be able to go on time back to Papua New Guinea, to Indonesia. And I also pray, Lord, that, Lord, as we look forward to 2 years from now and or a year and a half in 2020 in January where the government wants to come in, I just pray, Lord, that you would work it out in such a way that the Dem people will be able to hear your word and be able to be focused on it so that they can understand and understand in their heart, in their own language, as to the great miracle that where you came, you sent Jesus, your only begotten Son, to come into this world and to die for our sins. And I just pray that your blessing would be upon them, that your hedge of protection would be upon them and upon their children. And Lord, and I pray upon the Dem people themselves that the power of Satan and the demonic influence there, it would be broken, and that these precious people would one day be in heaven with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.